The camp meetings are exciting this time, at this time of the year. And I think the Lord is going to give some of these southern preachers something to talk about when they get back home. if you listen to the weather and you believe the weather, they're going to send them home with some real war stories here before we're done this week, if they're right. And this year, they've been pretty right. And so we're going to get some fives and sevens and maybe some minuses in front of it. And so Thursday is supposed to be real interesting, and that's when you're coming to Mayville. So it's going to be interesting. And someone we had, I think, day before yesterday, we had 10 or 12 inches. This morning we must have had up to about 2. When I went home and when I went out in the morning, I had to shovel the driveway again. And I shoveled it. When I went in and when I came back out, I had to shovel it again. And our snow was coming out into the parking lot. My wife said, "What are we going to do?" I said, "We're going to park in the street. If we have to, we're going to park in the street." Well, I want to look at today, and I'm indebted. I look at great preachers. I come to hear good preaching. I don't really expect to preach. I come to get something to go home with, and I've never been let down at the camp meetings or the tri-states or any of those. It's wonderful. So this is something new for me to come and deliver something to preachers. And I consider myself young. I'm a senior citizen, gray-headed, but I'm still young. So I come to learn. But I want to speak on pursuing the heart of Jesus. Pursuing his heart. I just believe if we don't know the heart of Jesus, we're just not saved. I mean, we need to draw closer to him, and so let us pray. Christian Father, may you bless me, guide and direct. May you just undertake as we open thy word, we look at the word of God, that's all we have, the word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. May you just undertake, may you strengthen from thy word. May you just undertake in Jesus' name, amen. Every Christian and every man of God is most successful as they draw near to the Word of God and actually allow the Word of God to act upon them. We become successful. The more we allow the Word and God to guide us and to direct us, we become successful. We speak of pursuing God, but God actually pursues us. There's a song that says, "I found the Lord, a rich man am I." But actually, the Lord found us. He found me, and I'm rich. I didn't find him. I was searching for him, and I didn't find him. And I knew the answer for my life was in the Word of God, and I couldn't find that Word. It took going to church and listening to the preaching of the Word of God to be saved. In my life, I tried reading the Bible. Someone said, "Read it." I started in Genesis, and didn't take long. I got all messed up, and I said, "Well, maybe I ought to go to." Someone suggested I go to Matthew, so I went there and I started reading there, and I didn't get too far, and I got all messed up. And I went to the preacher and said, "Tell me about this." I was attending church at that time. I said, "Tell me about this." And he said, "It was simple." I said, "Oh, why didn't I think of that?" And it was so simple. But I wasn't saved. It was when the Lord pursued me that I actually was saved and was actually found. And the Lord found me. The Holy Spirit moved upon my soul and moved in conviction and mercy. I just had to humble myself and yield unto him. Now I'm saved. We're vessels, hopefully, yielded to his service. John 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." I was thinking as I was working this, I was going to sing, "Come into my heart, Lord Jesus." But I'll leave the singing to someone else. Into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. it's different singing out there and singing up here. And my, I don't know, I've just the last few weeks been battling a voice thing, and we're working on some specials and things, and we're really battling with my part. And I don't know if we're going to make it or not. We're working on a song, but I'm not sure it's going to be there come Thursday when you come. We're trying something, but we'll see. It's a nice. I guess it'd be sort of a southern kind, a southern song. And so we'll see. You pray, and if I got the voice to do it, and we're all battling over colds. Psalm 51. Let's look at Psalm 51. Verse 10 says, create in me a clean heart. We're looking at pursuing the heart of Jesus. Our heart must be clean. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. See, salvation is of the Lord. It's not my salvation. It is his salvation bestowed upon me. And uphold with me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. It's when our hearts are clean that we will be used to create salvation in others. We can give them the word, you can do all kinds of things, but if your heart's not right, it's not going to work. Create in me. Then we will teach transgressors thy ways. Acts chapter 13, verse 22 says, David, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Speaking of David is, you know, you think about David is out there as a young man. He's way out in the backfields out there just doing a simple job. And yet he's got a right heart doing that job. He's doing it as he ought to do it. And not saying, I wonder why I'm stuck out here in the field. You know, my brothers, they get all the big stuff, and I got to do this out here. He's not complaining. He's just doing a job. And I think about in Mayville. You know, we're just a little town. Most people don't even know where it is. We have to link it to other towns close by. They don't say, you know, Chautauqua Lake? No, I never heard of it. Erie? Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, we're just outside of Erie, just a short distance. And oh, yeah, okay, I know where you're at. No, you don't. You're just in the locale, that's all. You still don't know. But once in a while, we find somebody that knows Mayville. And I was in Mayville out of Chautauqua one time, and I found somebody that was in the town my wife and I worked in way out in Syracuse, Indiana. Saw their license number, and they have it differentiated so you can find the city they got their license, if you know the numerals on it. And it was 57C and 43C. I said, oh, you're from Syracuse, Indiana. And he said, yeah. I said, where do you live, if I might ask? He said, Medusa Street. I said, really? I know Medusa Street. And I said, he said, yeah, I live in a duplex. I said, I know who your landlord is. He says, no. He says, yes, I do. Your landlord's Dan Duncan. He said, how'd you know that? I said, there's only one duplex on Medusa Street. I've been there. I said, there's only one, and I know who owns it. And it's a small world. And people know. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. So you have to be careful. You think you're off somewhere, nobody's going to know you. People will know. My wife were on vacation. We're out South Dakota one time, and we found this wallet, this purse, down in southern Wisconsin at the rest area. We went up to my parents' house. We called, and we found this young lady. She lived in northern Wisconsin. She had a Red Cross card, and we went through the phone book, found her, just to return her $2 and her purse. And we then went out to South Dakota. We were in a camping area, and the lady in the campground had the same name as the gal in northern Wisconsin who owned the purse. And we said, well, that's funny. We just talked to somebody with that name. She said, yeah, I have relatives up there. I said, really? And so we're talking to them, and they says, well, you know, we know her. She says, well, we used to live in Hustler, Wisconsin. I said, really? That's where I was born. And I, she says, yes, my sister was the cook in the school when I was in kindergarten in South Dakota. You're known. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Then we drop down to verse 33, and it says, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. Oh, that's verse 32, I'm sorry. And verse 33, and to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And the Lord said in verse 34, thou art not far from the kingdom. See, with the heart, it requires our whole heart, our whole might. As pastors, as members, as people, we have to give our whole heart unto God. And I come expecting my heart to be challenged, to be moved. Let me turn my watch here in the right direction here. If I put it on upside down, we will have a... There, okay. I have put it on upside down and be looking at it, and it's all crazy. I don't have numbers on there. Deuteronomy chapter 6. In our church, they'll let you know when you're done. When my wife and I were in Elkhart, Indiana, we had a church there, and we lived in the house where we had a church in the living room. We had a dog upstairs that got used to the clock. And when we quit, and when it was time to quit, the dog started barking. And so we had to find something different. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine head, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land, which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not. God will give you great things if you give him your heart and your life and your attention. I knew one lady that went home and wrote Bible verses on her walls, which she read that, and she said, we need to put Bible verses on our walls. Well, I don't know. I guess it was okay. We put posters and pictures on the wall, but just to go home and mark them and write them was maybe stretching it a little bit, but that's what the Lord laid on her heart, and she did it, and I guess it was all right. And verse 25, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. It will be accounted unto us as righteousness if we hear and do. Do it. No matter what it says, do it. Jeremiah 24, verse 7, I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people. God lays it upon our heart to know God and know who God is. We saw the sign up on the interstate up here. I was going by looking at it, and it was on the opposite side, and my wife was looking at it, said something about Saturday is the only true Sabbath. The Sunday was stolen by the Antichrist. And what is that? That's crazy. I was paying attention while I was driving, and I didn't get a good chance to look at it, but my wife was reading it. And that account in Jeremiah 24 is talking about the good figs and the bad figs. And of course, the Lord blessed the good figs, and he cast out the bad figs, sent them into exile, but they were still in his attention. And you notice it said in that account there, he sent them for their good. They went into punishment. They went into exile. They went into great torment, but it was for their good. And I got thinking, you know, it's been kind of an interesting year. you might even, well, you hate to call it a bad year, but it's just been one of those years that you're glad has gone by. And our motto for this year is let your light so shine in 2009. I have a feeling we're really going to need some light in 2009. I'm not sure why, but I think we're about to find out why. In all that we see coming and all that's being said, I'm not sure what next year is going to be. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15 says, I will give you pastors according to mine heart. You need to know the heart of Jesus, because as pastors, he's going to give pastors after his heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Jesus gave us the example of a pure heart, whole heart, so that we would follow him as he followed God. John chapter 8. Verse 28. Then Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. If you're not lifting up Jesus, making him the ultimate importance in this world, you're not going to be used. Says he had to be lifted up upon the cross to redeem us and to give us salvation. We have to lift him up in our hearts. He's not just someone. I enjoyed the Sword of the Lord article there. Just, it kind of blew me away. You know, they wrote the article of the Muslims, and they actually say Jesus is the sinless one, but they don't accept him as the Son of God. That was quite an insight to Muslims. I've never heard that. I've read it a couple different times, trying to digest it and say, really? Really? It gives a whole new light onto them and how to deal with them if we meet them. I can't say that I've met any yet, but they are around in more and more. Verse 29, and he that sent me is with me. God was always with Jesus. Sent him and was always with him. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. The example is Jesus always pleased the Father. And he left us the example. He is always with us as believers, as born-again people. He's always with us. We ought always to please him in the same manner as he pleased the Father. We'll never be that successful, but we ought to strive to do that. That ought to be the intent of our heart, that we are so clean that we always want to please God. And that's a challenge today, just to accord, give God the benefit. Doesn't mean you're always going to be right. You're still going to do wrong, but give God the benefit and say, if God's in it, it's got to be right. It was hard to understand when we lost our daughter. We had to give God the benefit. God had a reason. Do we know it? No, not completely. Not completely. We've seen some things from it. But to say this is why... I was reading a book the other day that says God never takes anyone through death. He only takes them through life. And I go, wait a minute. Wait. Moses went through death. You know, Enoch. But Moses was taken through death. And I go, something's wrong here. Something doesn't spell right in that book. And because I believe the Lord took our daughter. That's the only explanation I can give is give God that glory and say, somehow, for whatever reason, God took her. And I'm going to go with that. And you've lost loved ones. Give God the glory. For whatever it is, give God the glory for it. I don't know that we would balance it if we didn't. And God gives strength. Well, Luke chapter 22:42 says, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus wanted the will of God the Father. Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." We are to be pure. That word pure is the Greek word hagnos, which is similar cousin to hagios. God is holy. He's pure. We are to be hagnos. And I'm not a Greek grammarian. I only trust the books I got on the shelf, and I can recognize letters now. By looking at them, I'm beginning to pick up different forms, at least, without, you know, oh, I've seen that word, you know, that symbol, I don't know what it is, but I recognize some of the Greek letters now in combination, say, oh, I know that word as I'm paging through. I guess you learn just by doing that. I should take a Greek course, but I'd probably be dangerous. I'd try and get something that I wouldn't really need. But hagnos is purity. We are to be pure. We are to be clean. There is so much immorality and uncleanness and people living in lasciviousness and think they're doing good. I got a thing in the mail, and it staggered my imagination, but it was a survey of churched and unchurched people. And they said, you know, you can't just say churched and unchurched, because people are now differentiating how many times they attend church. So according to this survey, there are only 29% in this nation that are unchurched. 29%. Now they break it down to who attends church all services, and it ends up down to people who only go twice a year, Christmas and Easter, and those who even go only once every 2 to 3 months, they still consider themselves churched. Now they're missing something here. They're missing the house of God. And we find, you know, we get people to come and they may make a profession in Christ, and then they don't come. We've had one young lady, we've been working with her for a time, and you know, they were trying to get her to come tonight. No, she's not giving up her Monday night wrestling. Wait a minute. Something's wrong here. Something's wrong. Keep thyself pure. Philippians chapter 4. Actually, that's her quality time with her father. If it wasn't so pathetic, it would be funny, and we're laughing. It's not funny. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, and that same word, hagnos, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard, seen and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. James 3:17 says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." 1 Timothy 5:22 says, "Keep thyself pure." We need to keep that uppermost in our mind, our purity, our cleanness. There is just no one who seems to be wanting to pursue purity and church. You know, pray for us. We're working on something. We got a project. We have a winter festival, which is even colder than now. The lake hasn't frozen yet. They have a winter festival, and the Chamber of Commerce is sponsoring it, and we're trying to get a table out there in the tent, you know, with all the things. And so far, not happening. We were going to give hot chocolate and coffee and pass out tracts and literature on the church and see if we could find some of these unchurched people. And we've hit a wall so far. Where right now, it looks like we're going out there with backpacks. We're not getting a table. We're not in the tent. And we're not having hot chocolate because the other vendors are selling it, so they didn't want us giving it away when they're selling it. Well, by then it's about 10 below zero. It's cold out there. And they got ice houses in the castle, and if they can do it, a lot of times they don't because it isn't cold enough. And So looks like we're going to be backpacking and passing out tracts, and we'll see what happens. It's kind of like they don't want us out there for some odd reason. And in the little town of Mayville, there's some people that don't even know we're there. Now, that's not good in the little town. You know, they say, where's Maranatha Baptist Church? What? And Mayville knows everything. I mean, you do something, it's all over town. I mean, it just flies like, you know little towns. I mean, you just do something wrong, and it's like that. It's across town before you can get across town, but not our church. And so we're going to try and get our name out there and let them know we're there. And, well, we find Jesus wept. Jesus hungered. Jesus loved. Jesus tired physically. Jesus' heart burst upon the cross with the weight of sin. Do we care? As he cared for the rebellious. Do we care? We find one disciple leaning upon Jesus' breast in John 13:23. This is important as Jesus loved him, and he's responding as being as close as he can physically get. You know, we find people just don't seem to want to go to church. They don't want to be close to the Lord. They think, well, I can just stay at home. I can just watch television. I can just read my Bible at home and be close. No. No. It doesn't work. We met a man out on visitation. He lived in a camper out in the woods. And we invited him to church. And he came once. He said, I don't go to church. But he did come once. And he says, I get everything from reading my Bible at home. I don't go to church. I get it from God. Not really. That doesn't always work. Doesn't always work. What happened to the one that says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together? You missed that one. The Old Testament says, I will pay my vows in the presence of God's people. You can only do that in church, because that's where they congregate, is in church. But they don't want to. They don't feel they have to. They're not close to the Lord Jesus. They don't have his heart. They don't have the yearning. There's been some people that haven't been to our church for years, and yet if you ask them, oh, I'm going to heaven. The Lord is my Savior. Really? You say they're unsaved? I don't know. You'd have to right off the bat say no, but if you query them, they've came by the plan that's given, that we lead them to Christ. They've done all of that. Say, I don't know. I can only just do what we can do and leave that up to the Lord. I can't judge them. You can look for fruit. You find none. Then you go on. Notice the one was leaning on his breast, and they were talking about who's going to betray the Lord. One of those 12 was going to betray him, and there's one of them as close as he can get to Jesus. Our times are so perverted now, you can't do that kind of stuff. We can't do that. We can't lean. One man leaning on another one's chest. You can't do that. You're going to be in a bad spot. Sometimes there's once in a while the young lady will come up and say, Pastor, can I give you a hug? I say, no, go hug my wife. That would be the best thing. Go hug my wife. Give her a big hug. You can't do that. It's the sign of our times. It's awful. And it's going to get worse, for sure. Probably in New York, if nowhere else, it's going to get worse. We're on the cutting edge. You read the papers. I mean, they're moving from California to New York. We're on the cutting edge right now. And pray, because what I understand, there's three Democrats that won't jump over They have the majority, but they can't get those three to vote and do so they can take the majority away from the House. They got a lot of things they want to do, but these three guys are holding out. I don't know who they are, but I'm praying for them. They're not going to swing over because there's big plans. And they're doing us a lot of justice right now to hold on to the old ways. John chapter 13. Verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. We see by these scriptures, God wants us to be tenderhearted, to be compassionate to others, to give our hearts to the people that are with us, to love them, comfort them, and probably be abused by them some. Do we honestly have that today? Do we honestly care? Even as pastors, evangelists, do we care? Or do we say, oh well, sign of the times, just getting worse. I have a poster on the back of our church. You come Thursday, you'll see it. It says, where is your faith? When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Where is your faith? Let us pray. Gracious Father, may you guide and direct, may you bless, may you undertake. As we look into thy word, may you speak to our hearts, strengthen us, move mightily, that we might give our hearts, our lives, all that we are unto thee. Bless the services to follow. Undertake in Jesus' name. Amen.
Take a psalm book, turn to page 534. I like a sermon that's full of scriptures. That's good. 534.